Who is going to be ousted next? Who is Donald Trump going to put the blame on and push out of this administration? Because this administration has been like a revolving door of madness, of incompetence. And I know you know that, right? More recently, people like Kristi Noem or Pam Bondi or Greg Bovino or Dan Bongino. And the thing is, because all these people are like, you know, just they can't get it done. At least that's what Trump believes. And so they just, you know, get ousted. They pledge their loyalty to Donald Trump, and it's still not enough. It causes so much panic from in the administration right now. We have a reporting that Kash Patel is very paranoid and has been essentially trying to close leaks within his inner circle, giving people polygraph tests within his inner circle to see who's leaking information. You also have Pete Hegseth, who's reportedly very paranoid that he's going to lose his job. And this is exactly what you want from an administration in the White House. A bunch of children running around trying to pledge their loyalty to Donald Trump so they don't lose the only thing they have, which is their job. Because they don't have any morals or values. Those left a long time ago. So let's hop into it. Let's talk a little bit about it. I want to first start by playing this video. It's actually really interesting from Greg Bovino, who was sidelined because of a lot of the ICE stuff, mainly what happened in Minnesota. Before I hit play, my name is Chris Mowry. I do a daily video here on the Adam Ochler channel. It would mean a lot if you go right down below. Hit like and subscribe on this YouTube video. And also check out my YouTube channel right down below. I do post content very similar to this. You guys have shown tons and tons of support. I'm creeping up on 250,000 subscribers, which is insane to say out loud. So I just want to say I appreciate each and every one of you. And Adam and I appreciate you for all the support you've shown on the Adam Ochler channel. You guys are the best. All right, let's hop right in. Take a listen to this. We'll talk about it after.
You know, we've all got the team that we have. When I joined El Centro Sector as the chief, I had my team.
Right.
And I had to rely on my team. No doubt. You can't do it yourself. Your camera crews and your team, you have to rely on your team. Same with the Border Patrol, same with the president. He has a team to rely on, can't do it all himself. And, you know, I think that some of the team may not have the fortitude that President Trump does. Trump's the best deporter that I've ever worked for.
Right.
You know, some said that Hussein Obama deported more people. Remember, that's a misnomer because he counted Border Patrol apprehension numbers right at the border and said, oh, see, we caught several million that year. So let's don't give him too much credit for that. But Trump's the best I ever worked for. We started off the very best. I mean, look, we went to Los Angeles and absolutely hammered it in Los Angeles. Absolutely hammered it. Same thing with Chicago. Then Charlotte. Let me tell you what, Charlotte was off the hook, folks.
Really?
Our highest one-day apprehension rate was Charlotte, North Carolina. That place was off the hook. And, you know, I felt that we had President Trump. Notice I didn't say any of his other team there. President Trump was behind us. I heard from Secretary Noem, Mr. Lewandowski, hey, President likes what you're doing.
Nice.
Doing a good job. So that let me know. But, you know, everybody's got their team they're working for. And, you know, I think that sometimes cold feet, whether that's polling numbers or whatever, can come into play. And that's too bad because, again, this is for America. I don't give a damn about the polling numbers.
Yeah.
Let me say that again.
This is what we voted for. We voted for mass deportation.
Exactly. I don't go into cities to arrest illegal aliens based on polling numbers. I do that as a Border Patrol chief. And those Border Patrol agents, those are some of the greatest patriots I've ever worked alongside. You know, I should never have been able to do that, especially at my age. I'm old. I'm a dinosaur. They even called me oil in the ground.
All right, blah, blah, funny. The people you worked with, you were throwing people in vans, you know, often leading to people getting deported without due process or held for extraordinarily long periods of time. And like this, you know, just rounding up people who, again, have been here for potentially 10 or 20 or 30 years, 70% of them without, you know, a previous criminal history. First of all, the people you worked with are not patriots. But some really interesting stuff here from now, sideline Greg Bovino, who starts by saying, you know, Trump is a patriot and he's a great guy. And then it seems like poll numbers got the best of, you know, the team. And I wish that they actually had more fortitude. Interesting. Border Patrol Commander Greg Bovino states that there are 100 million undocumented people in the U.S., potentially more. That is the most outrageous, absurd. Like, this should cause you... This is such an insane comment. It should like invalidate you from ever working anywhere near immigration, anything ever again. I mean, there are what, 315, 25 million-ish people in the United States. You think a third of people are undocumented? All right. You know, I think you just are a suck up to the right wing movement and Donald J. Trump or whatever. You've been sidelined. Now we move a little bit to Howard Lutnick, who still has a job, but I feel like he's getting a little crazy because he's been in all this hot water about Jeffrey Epstein. Yeah, this, you know, he testified or he originally stated in a podcast like a year and a half or so ago that, you know, he gave this whole story about how he met Epstein once with his wife and he was so creepy. I'm about to play it. And it turned out after we got some of the Epstein files that he was lying. Take a listen.
There's the doors and there's a massage table in the middle of the room and candles all around and stuff. So I ask very insightful, cutting questions. I say to him, massage table in the middle of your house? How often do you have a massage? And he says, every day. And then he like gets like weirdly close to me.
Ooh.
And he says, and the right kind of massage.
Ooh.
Now my wife is standing here. So she looks at me and I look at her and we say, I'm sorry, we have to go. And we left. And in the 6 or 8 steps it takes to get from his house to my house, my wife and I decided that I will never be in the room with that disgusting person ever again.
So what's really creepy about that podcast is like how specific and adamant he is about this story. And there's some lead up to it about how he got invited to the house because they were next door neighbors, Howard Lutnick and Jeffrey Epstein, how he got invited, how he walked up, what he brought, how the introduction went, how he started walking around Jeffrey Epstein's house. There's this massage table, that creepy interaction you just heard occurred and he never saw him again. And that's really like kind of scary how particular and thought out it is because it's a complete lie. What I was showing you in the beginning, if you happen to be able to look at the screen, some of you may just be listening and that's okay, but this is an email from December of 2012. The story he's talking about, he claims, takes place years before. And this is Howard Lutnick emailing Jeffrey Epstein. Hi, Jeffrey, we are landing in St. Thomas. That's the U.S. Virgin Islands, where essentially right near where Jeffrey Epstein's island is located. Early Saturday afternoon and planning to head over on Monday at some point. Where are you located? What is the exact location for my captain? Does Sunday evening for dinner sound good? I have another couple with me here on my boat, and each of us have 4 children, 2 16-year-olds, 2 14-year-olds, a 13, a 12, an 11, and a 7-year-old. So he's bringing his wife and kids to the island, and this was just a completely fabricated story. And so he had to show up to a closed-door meeting very recently and testify like this week about this. This was the photo of him walking in. Of course, it was closed door. There was no video, but take a listen here.
Oh, she's on.
And I'm going to mute here because, you know, it's not too much sound, but it's kind of crazy how much security Howard Lutnick is. It's like we are doing it's almost like indicative of a perp walk. Look how many people there are surrounding Howard Lutnick as he walks into this. And again, the reason that closed door meeting happened this past week with Howard Lutnick, the reason that, you know, we want to know after he claimed that he had no relationship. Well, how do we figure out he had any relationship like so many other people who lied about this? Trump's DOJ, you know, had this huge drop of Epstein files at one point and then proceeded. There was one in particular that got removed and people noticed very quickly that it was on a data set 9 right here and then was removed. And it turns out that the photo that they had released was this photo that right there, as people started speculating and then was removed, is Howard Lutnick. And it was indeed confirmed to be Howard Lutnick on Jeffrey Epstein's island. And again, the beginning story for Howard Lutnick was we saw Jeffrey Epstein with his creepy massage table in his apartment in New York, and we decided we would never, ever, ever talk to him ever again. And it's crazy because he went from that was his story. And again, it's not just him on that island. It's his wife and his kids. This was Ro Khanna talking about the closed door meeting. And you got to hear this.
Donald Trump had seen the video transcript. He would have fired Howard Lutnick. It was really embarrassing. He was asked very straightforward questions about whether he regretted misleading the American people. I mean, he said that he would never see Epstein again in 2005. And everyone knows that he took his wife and kids to see Epstein in 2012. And yet it was just contortions and lies and no acknowledgement that he misled the American public. And if you saw the exchanges that my colleagues had with him, you would see he made a farce of the English language. I mean, he was trying to define I, as if saying that what he really meant is that he would not see Epstein alone, but be totally fine with having his wife and kids see Epstein. It made no sense. And then he's raised even more serious concerns about the investigation. He originally had said that Epstein engaged in blackmail and recorded videotapes. Now he's saying, well, he was wrong. He was just speculating, and Epstein actually didn't engage in blackmailing. This raises the question of what the cover-up is. Did someone tell him to say that? I've not heard that that Epstein never engaged in blackmail. Why is Howard Lutnick changing his testimony, changing his story? He's lost all credibility, and really it's a shame that the American people don't get to see what he did there. Total lack of truth and lack of honesty.
I think that's really beautifully said by Ro Khanna. And again, not only the American people deserve that any type of, you know, transparency, not only from Howard Lutnick, but from the administration, but so do the survivors of Jeffrey Epstein. As again, the DOJ is still breaking the law on this, and we don't have all of the Epstein files. So Howard Lutnick could be next. A lot of people are also speculating Kash Patel could be next.
Patel thing is so annoying because it's just like, can you just let them have a fucking victory? You know, the second you, it's so selfish. Like the second you insert yourself in the room, it becomes culture war.
Yeah.
And it's like, let America have this great victory. These guys played their fucking asses off. It's a dream win for the men's and the women's team. If you're in the locker room drinking beers because you're a big hockey fan, it's this completely selfish endeavor that puts these guys under the microscope, right? Like, instead of being somebody we could all celebrate, if they're treating Cash as if he's like one of the guys, now everybody just goes, look at these pieces of shit, not judging Cash Patel for being there and all the things that he's been supporting. Mm. It's just like, just stay the fuck out of it. Just stay the fuck out of it.
He's corny, bro.
Who, Cash?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're saying the guy who wanted to be the FBI director is corny? You're saying the guy who wanted to spy on people for a living is not a cool guy?
Yeah, I just don't like this. He's always, he wants too much attention. Like, just be behind shit and lock up criminals.
Yeah.
And it's crazy looking back at this. They're talking about Kash Patel and that photo, that video actually, of him drinking with the men's hockey team in the locker room after they won gold. You know, now, you know, watching this back and watching that video back, now having the article about Kash Patel's drinking problem. And again, a lot of people speculating that Kash Patel is up next. A lot of reporting that Kash Patel is very, very paranoid, especially after this story came out about his excessive drinking and how, you know, essentially they had to use SWAT gear at one point to bang down his door because he wasn't responding. He's had to be helped multiple times by people around him, you know, to get certain places because he is so intoxicated, which is just, and the mishandling of so many different investigations. This is Dan Bongino, who again, now is also, you know, he took a step back from the administration, is no longer with the FBI. He said this on Sean Hannity the other day.
But listen, I will never be the same. And I'm being as serious as a stroke right now. Look, I'm scared, man. Like, I know what I did, and I'm proud of my work, and I'm proud of what me and Cash accomplished in the past year, beyond proud. I know what we did. I know what's coming. I know what I started. I know what I laid out, and I know it's all, you saw a lot of these cases coming out over the past few days even. But don't think for a second that I don't think every day, and this is what's really sad, and this is why I know, and I never thought this after reading that on Friday night, that they're going to come for me. And listen, man, it's not a sob story. I knew what I was getting into. But it happened to the president, and he went through just the worst, just destruction of his civil liberties I've ever seen. But I say to my wife all the time, I know, Sean, I can look you in the face as a friend, tell you and your millions of viewers and listeners, I promise you everything I did with a dotted I and a crossed T. I brought in my own attorney from the outside, person I trusted, a wonderful, wonderful person. I said, no, everything is going to be by the book. Everything. I'm confident in that. And you know what? It don't matter. They'll rewrite the book, just like they did for President Trump. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, I got a 14-year-old. The presidency could change. I hope it doesn't in a little over 2 years. You don't think on election night, if we lose, like, it's not going through my head, like, they're going to send some thugs to my house? I was never the same after that, because after reading what I read about how many people did this to President Trump, this Russia hoax, collusion, crossfire hurricane bullshit, and not a single person stopped them, I'm terrified that they're just not going to do the right thing when they're in charge.
Okay, I actually really want to know, if you made it this far in the video, what you think of this from Dan Bongino. There's so many points in that where, like, his reasoning for this make is just absurd. Oh, all the civil liberties, they wouldn't, you know, Donald Trump had his civil liberties stomped all of. What civil liberties did Donald Trump not have through all his massive cash? He paid up, you know, he's a convicted felon because, you know, he falsified business records in the first degree. He falsified business records to take a step to conceal or commit a larger crime, paying off Stormy Daniels, a porn star, to be quiet about their affair in a larger scheme to violate New York State election law by engaging in these catch and kill schemes. He had lawyers there. He had, you know, his due process. He had his due process in all his civil cases, whether it's sexual abuse or defamation again, or the largest business fraud suit ever. What civil liberties are you possibly talking about? And then I don't even know. He's talking about how, you know, President Trump had to go through this crossfire hurricane Russia collusion. Really? This is absurdity. Like, it's so clear. It's clear as day that there was collusion. There was not a bunch of people in the FBI just like conjuring this all up. So just like absurdity. And then if the Democrats win in 2028, he said they, I don't know who they is, what, the president Democrat 2028 is going to send thugs to your house to beat you up? What? All right, whatever. And the thing is that the White House knows so much of this PR-wise is a disaster. So this is the attempt for the rebrand after, you know, deeming ICE agents as, like, you know, literally landing Black Hawk helicopters in southern Chicago with, like, video teams and raiding apartment buildings at 2 a.m. With children inside and videotaping it because it's like, look at ICE, you know, we're taking over Chicago. After doing such heinous things, believe it or not, the poll numbers for ICE are terrible because most Americans are like, wow, these people are really horrible. This is a horrible thing to do. So now we're trying to rebrand ICE into NICE agents, National Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Do it. So now instead of, again, the Black Hawk helicopters taking brown people, it's NICE agents, all defending our country. That's the attempt for the rebrand. It's so, so ridiculous. And again, I saw this tweet. This was probably, it seems, Dan Bongino's last day. This is Minnesota on January 21st of this year. Again, so much chaos. And no wonder, you know, again, he gets sidelined. Look at that. I mean, you have, you know, all these civilians out. This is a neighborhood, you know, and I know you've seen so many of these videos like this, a neighborhood essentially being, you know, tear gassed here, smoked out. People are recording. People are getting tackled. There's appears a magazine of ammunition left left behind full of ammunition. Just chaos. Trump's disgraced border goon threatens to go rogue. Again, Dan Bongino speaking out about a lot of this and, again, suggesting it was the poll numbers. He also said on Twitter that, quote, illegal aliens are getting free health care in Oklahoma. I'm in Oklahoma right now and just saw this. Nearly 10% of the HIV patients at OSU's clinic are, quote, illegal aliens getting free treatment on the federal dime. How could you possibly know that? This is the most absurd thing. Linking to a report from a far-right news site that cites an anonymous whistleblower to make the claim, right? Greg Bongino, yeah, this is just like, it's so disappointing that we have such, you know, people who are willing to believe anything and everything, and they're supposed to be professionals. It's so gross. It's so racist. Who's paying for this? The same people shielding them from ICE feel great about it, but don't lose any sleep spending our money on a net loss for the country. Like, what are you talking about right now? Just like citing anonymous Twitter reports is so crazy. Maybe I should spread my wings and help a few of them self-deport. You're so disgusting. So we've heard from some people in this video that have been ousted. We heard about some people who are scared to be ousted. So ex-Trump aide predicts who will be fired next and when. Let's take a look. Drum roll, please. Embattled agency head Kash Patel won't be handing out FBI director Bourbon for much longer, according to a former Trump aide, Miles Taylor, who I actually really like, served as Homeland Security chief of staff, in the first Trump administration, and says he's surprised Trump, 79, has kept Patel on as long as he has, given the myriad of reports of Patel's excessive drinking, a habit Trump famously abhors. Quote, if there's one thing that the president doesn't tolerate, it's excessive drinking. Taylor, now a vocal critic of Trump, said on MS Now, he predicts Patel will be out the door before Labor Day. I think it's remarkable he's hung on this long. There was, of course, reporting that the president was close to replacing Patel. I'd be very surprised if it makes it through the summer. Let me know if you agree with this or you think it may be someone else. And again, a little bit more here. This is the Department of Homeland Security attempting to rebrand ICE as NICE. So now we literally have these videos on the internet. NICE, and it's ICE agents like holding babies and stuff. Which is so, like, how can you attempt to brand ICE as these, again, big patriots, like these disgusting white supremacist videos that we see from the Department of Homeland Security? I've made videos about this all the time. And then when you realize it's going badly, now you just want to switch and do this. It's so disgusting. Let me know what you think of all of this in the comments down below. And let me know who you think will be out next from this chaotic, disgusting administration. I appreciate you watching this video. Once again, my name is Chris Mowry. I do a daily video here on the Adam Ockler channel. Make sure you check out my YouTube channel down below and make sure you hit like and subscribe here. And I will see you in the next video.